Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm your host, Delia Farquharson, and I was just telling Raymond that I got a parking ticket today. There's snow everywhere, and I believe that alternate side parking was canceled, and no, it wasn't. So I'm really annoyed. But thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. Our topic this evening is the value and significance of sleep. And no, I don't believe I will lose sleep over the fact that I got a ticket today. At least I don't think so. But before we get started on our discussion, I want to say good evening and welcome to my guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hi, Delia.
So, Raymond, yeah, so I got a ticket, but I won't lose sleep, I don't believe.
Congratulations.
So sleep, Raymond. Sleep is our topic for this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why is sleep important? The National Institute of Health says that sleep plays a vital role in good health and well-being throughout your life. Getting enough quality sleep at the right time can help protect your mental health, your physical health, your quality of life, and your safety. I don't think many things fall into that category.
It sounds like such a critical thing that we just somehow at times probably take for granted.
We do. But I think that sleep is just absolutely crucial. It's something that nobody else can do for you. It's the most important thing that you do for yourself. And, yeah, you're right. I think oftentimes we take sleep for granted, you know. Because how you feel while you're awake is going to depend on what you did while you were sleeping or while you were supposed to be sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sleep is a process of regeneration and rejuvenation, and it's, you know, everything is kind of getting recharged while we sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an important part for, you know, in young children that supports growth and the development of the brain. And it can be so devastating when you don't have enough sleep. You know, when you think about it, it can be so devastating in so many ways when you don't have enough sleep.
Right. And as you talked about it, I was just thinking, you know, sometimes, you know, not all sleep as well is created equal. Sometimes you have, in terms of quantity, you have many hours of sleep, but you wake up more tired than you were before you went to bed or before you fell asleep.
Yeah.
You know, so as much as I think it's important to sleep, it's important to get quality sleep. Now, what leads to that, you know, what makes, you know, your sleep of better quality one versus the other, I mean, probably that vary from person to person. But I myself, you know, can appreciate the difference between, you know, sleeping for 6 or 7 or 8 hours and getting good quality sleep, as opposed to sleeping just as long or longer and waking up not feeling rested.
Right, right.
You know?
So, you know, when you think about it, right, sleep, any deficiency in sleep can have really significant, traumatic impact. Because, you know, people have serious accidents from sleep deprivation. You hear people having accidents, car accidents all the time because they don't sleep.
Right.
Or it can add up over time, where over time, just not getting enough sleep can add up and then cause you to be at risk. So, you know, the quality of your sleep, you're right, is really important because it's going to affect your response time. It's going to affect your cognitive, your thinking ability to learn, you know, how you get your mood. You know, everything is impacted by how you, the quality of your sleep and how much sleep you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that is really, really critical. And I really wanted us to have this conversation about why sleep is important and what the value of sleep is. And I kind of want to break it down. So let's look first at physical health, right? And the role that sleep plays in physical health.
Okay.
Can you think about any physical impact?
Well, I mean, I think if you're not sleeping well, especially over an extended period of time, I think your immune system becomes compromised. I don't think you're as
resilient.
Mm-hmm. You know, thanks. You know, for just everyday run-of-the-mill bugs that could potentially affect you.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But you know what the National Institute of Health says? It
mm-hmm.
says that when you don't get enough sleep, because the body repairs itself, all the blood vessels, your heart, your brain, is repairing yourself during sleep. When you don't get enough sleep, you place yourself at risk for kidney disease, for high blood pressure, for diabetes, and for strokes,
mm-hmm.
right? And, yeah, we know this, if you don't get enough sleep, you put on weight.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause you to get fat. So, I mean, when you
which
think about it.
Which adds to the cardiac mass.
Yeah, and the diabetes,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
So, I mean, and I think the obesity risk increases across, you know, age groups.
But can we, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
It's just a thought in my head I'm thinking. There are different reasons why, because some of it is deliberate, you know, or voluntary.
What do you mean?
Meaning, all right, I don't get enough sleep because I'm going from one job to the next.
Right.
You know, I work 8 to 4 and I have to get somewhere else and I'm working till midnight. By the time I get home and my body kind of gets rested enough to fall asleep, it's 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I have to get up at 6 to get to my 8 o'clock job.
Mm-hmm.
And I work 2 full-time jobs. So that is something that you elect and volunteer.
Well, and you know what? That made me some qualification because some people really need to work 2 and 3 jobs to survive.
Absolutely.
Right?
So
right.
That is something that is part of, it's necessary for your life.
Right. But I think,
you
know, with this discussion, right, the price
you
pay. And with this discussion, it's about carving your life around your sleep rather than carving your sleep around your life,
right?
So you know, kind of reversing how we look at it, the perspective, so that sleep is taking precedence. Because you really, if you have 2 and 3 jobs and you really need to do that in order to survive, you'll do a better job or do better at those jobs if you have more better sleep. So you know, being able to carve sleep out rather than saying, okay, how do I get to work and work 8 hours? It's more, you know, I'm suggesting that, you know, the more prudent approach is to say, how do I get 8 hours of sleep? How do I carve 8 hours
yeah.
of sleep out of my 2 jobs?
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Right, and then, you know, the other is just for whatever restless reasons why you can't sleep, which is a whole, I think, is just a whole different bucket of business.
And that takes us to the emotional part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times the reason why we can't sleep is because our brains are preoccupied with something either in the past or in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Either something that's happened that's causing you to feel upset, or something that you think will happen that is making you anticipate and become upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, being able to regulate that, being able to regulate your emotions
mm-hmm.
and control how you're feeling in terms of
mm-hmm.
when you go to bed,
mm-hmm.
you know, being able to secure, like you said, quality sleep,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it becomes really important.
No, it is. But I think, though, you know, in terms of recognizing that part and parcel of why I feel the way I feel, you know, I might not feel tired because I guess if you do it long enough, then it becomes, for want of a better word, your new normal, you know, where you're functioning on 3 or 4 hours sleep. But pay attention to what else am I giving up, and, you know, what is the compromise? I might feel rested because those are the same number of hours that I've slept over the last however months, years, or whatever. But the price is being paid somewhere else. As you said, am I gaining weight? Am I, you know, having elevated, you know, blood levels in certain areas? Am I not as agile as I used to be? Am I more listless and lethargic? You know, so on and so forth. You know, so it's something that I think we don't give enough focus on, and we don't give enough credit the value
of sleep.
Quality sleep.
Yeah. And I think that becomes really important, because so many things can result from not getting a good night's sleep,
mm-hmm.
right? So we talked a little bit about the physical symptoms, you know, the kidney disease and the heart disease and the obesity and all those things, diabetes, that can result from not getting enough sleep. But what can result from not getting enough sleep from a mental perspective?
Okay.
Right? How does that impact you mentally? And, you know, there's some sleep, some thoughts, you know, school of thought that might say, well, it's not sleeping may be a symptom of mental distress. Or mental distress may be result from not sleeping, right?
Checking out,
yeah, you know, right? So, you know, that you can actually become mentally ill if you are not able to get effective sleep.
I see what you mean. Because, let me just see if I can follow this up then. I am worried about something that occurred in the past, or let's go back, refreshing what you said, occurred in the past, or I'm worried about, you know, stressed about something in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps me awake.
Mm-hmm.
I am preoccupied in my thought. I'm sleeping less and less.
Mm-hmm.
It consumes me,
mm-hmm.
and it affects my mental
status. Because it can affect how you are responding, how you are problem solving, your mood. It can even affect your connection to reality.
So now it's as extended beyond the boundaries of just sleep.
Beyond the boundaries of just sleep. And so that's what people, you know, I think it's really important to understand that sleep, you know, and I don't think the studies are conclusive, but what we know is that everybody who's going to be mentally well needs to have good sleep. So whether it comes before or it comes as a symptom after, what we know is that we are all better if we sleep, right? So, you know, and sleep problems can be caused from anything. Can be caused from us, you know, not being able to process or to deal with what's going on in our lives and not having the skills and the coping mechanisms to deal with what's going on in our lives. And, you know, but if you find yourself not being able to fall asleep, not being able to stay asleep, or waking up during the middle of the night, then you have to be questioning yourself, what's going on? Especially if this is new, right? People go through different phases of their lives and different experiences, and sleep is impacted. But if this is prolonged and persistent, then you really need to be looking at what's going on with you. If you're not able to achieve an effective 7 to 8, or now the studies have come out, for some people it's even 9. For the younger children, of course, it's all the more. But not waking up during the middle of the night, not being able to fall asleep, taking a long time to fall asleep, all those things may be indication of other things going on with you. And those things could be physical or mental. So I think sleep is an important barometer for us to look at when we are, you know, examining our health. If there's something going on with your sleep, it needs to be taken seriously. We need to look at it and say, okay, what could be causing it? Some of the things that could cause sleep problems, for example, could be a brain or a nervous system disorder, could be cardiovascular issues, you know, it could be, you know, metabolic problems that could be causing it. But you could have sleep apnea. Somebody could, just have difficulty, staying asleep because of breathing problems that's caused by sleep apnea. And in the same way that we're talking about the lack or the absence of sleep and not being able to get enough sleep, the same way with getting too much sleep. Because if you are sleeping too much, that too may be an indication that something is going on. You know, why are you, especially if this is new behavior, why are you sleeping more than 8 hours? You know, what's going on in terms of you not, you know, what are you missing out in your life in terms of you having to spend that much more time? Are you sad? Are you feeling, sad? Are you disconnected? Are you isolated? Are you lonely? What else is going on that's causing you to sleep so much? So, it could be hypertension that's going on. Could be emotional disorder, depression or bipolar disorder, Or it could be maybe some kind of substance, maybe a drug that you're taking that's causing you to sleep. And it's really important to understand that sleep is something that needs to be examined. What does healthy sleep look like for you? How much sleep do you really need to function? And some people might think, oh, I only need 4 hours. Oh, I only need 5 hours. Oh, that's all I've ever gotten. But all the studies indicate that, we really need more sleep than that. And so that's what needs to happen, is for us to focus on getting good sleep, right? Because, I know that when I don't sleep, my mood is off. I can't really function in the same way. I'm more easily agitated when I don't sleep, right? And stress. Is the number one cause of sleeping problems. That's what all the experts say. So it could be school-related stress, it could be job-related stress, it could be relationship problems that's causing you to feel stressed. And that's one of the first signs that that something is bothering you. I know that's what happens for me. If I have something that's bothering me, I cannot sleep. I am not able to sleep effectively. And as soon as that problem is resolved, my sleep pattern comes back to normal. And that's usually what happens with any kind of stress. So once the stress trigger is relieved, then the person is able to, or you are able to go back to sleep. And, it's really important for you to deal with the sleep problem early on, as soon as you identify it, so that it doesn't become persistent, because that can really impact everything, impact how you're functioning in your life, impact how you're functioning in your job or at school. One of the other things is that using substances, whether it's alcohol or any kind of substances, drugs, can also impact your sleep. So, especially if you drink caffeine late in the afternoon, for some people, maybe a pattern that they have and it doesn't impact them, but for others, they may be impacted by drinking coffee late, and then that impacts sleep. Or you're up all night, you can't sleep. So I think it's really important to pay attention to those things. If you work an irregular shift, if you're working overnight, that can really impact your sleep pattern, really impact your ability to sleep, and impact your health. Studies, I think that 20% of the employees in the United States work like a swing shift, like an overnight shift. But when you look at them, their health is usually impacted by that because, the circadian rhythm is interrupted when you have to be up when the body really wants to be sleeping. So, you have to consider all of those things when you are dealing with sleep. And how do you kind of prepare for or get ready for a good night's sleep? What are some of the things? How do you prepare yourself to say, all right, that's what my focus is going to be for the next 8 hours? This important thing that nobody else can do for me, that I am the only one that can do it for myself. And that is so critical to my well-being. How do you prepare for sleep? You know, using screens, whether it's TV, phone, you know, tablets, computers, before bed, using it right up to the time of sleep. I think most healthcare providers, most people will tell you that's not such a good idea. You want to really give your brain an opportunity to wind down and to be relaxed before it goes to sleep. You know, parking some of those thoughts that, you know, some of those things that might have happened during the day. Parking some of those things so you're really getting ready for a restful, relaxing experience. So sleep should be something that you prepare for. You know, kind of like how you prepare for work, Raymond. You know, sleep is something that you should be prepared, you know, you should be getting ready. No screens, like I said. So really getting ready to put the body in a relaxing mode.
I don't know about that. I think some people just drop asleep for me.
If you don't have any problem, and I just talked about that a little bit. If you don't have any problem falling asleep, and those things don't impact you. But I think all the research says that it does. Yeah. And we don't really know the long-term impact because this is the first generation that's growing up with all these screens.
Yeah, we'll be having studies of outcomes.
Right? We don't know the long-term impact of all the, of going to just using these screens and then going to sleep. On such a consistent and, you know, significant basis, just always having a screen.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And I think this interrupted sleep, you know, where we have all these prompts, these bings and dings and things going off and alarms in terms of, like, you know, you have a message or you have a mail or you have a this, and, you know. So you're constantly on, consciously or subconsciously. I think that would affect my sleep. And I would venture to say it would affect a lot of people's
sleep.
In that sense. And you wake up, but that's your not. And that's where I am concerned more so, is that it's your normal. You know, so it's okay as far as you, the person.
Yeah,
is
I think
concerned. It's like that's what I know.
Right, that's what I've done.
That's what I've known.
But you know what? I'm gonna say this. That sleep is something that people have been doing for a long, long time, right?
Okay.
And we know what effective sleep looks like. So even if it means that the brain, and we don't know because we're not doing no functional MRIs and stuff like that.
Okay.
But you know, for the brain to be just relaxed and rested rather than processing and beeping and carrying on, because the last thing you did before you went to sleep was to just shut off that screen.
Right?
You know, so keeping a regular schedule, keeping a regular bedtime, you know, making sure that your environment is restful and calm, not drinking coffee 6 or so hours before bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Smoking, nobody should be smoking anyway, you know. Avoiding alcohol and heavy meals, well, if you can, because that's going to add to the obesity. But, you know, but exercising regularly. I don't know about exercising right before bed, but exercising regularly at some point just before, you know, and then setting up a calm environment where no noise, the light is, you know, or no light or dim light, you know, the temperature is comfortable for you, you know, and you know, where you can sleep interrupted, you know, uninterrupted, sleep uninterrupted, in a way that
wake up refreshed, rejuvenated, ready to go.
Yeah, so you can do it again. You know, I think you know, sleep is really critical.
Yeah, and I think though, a lot of times, you know, you get tired from physical activity, being physical work, exercise, or all these other events, you know, that make you physically tired. And if you are mentally at ease, then you fall asleep and you wake up and you do it again. If you are not physically tired, you feel
as if you could just, you know, go and you have no reason to fall asleep or no urgency or you're not doing any exercise. It probably would help if you did, to your point, did some activity to make sure, you know, you're getting physical exercise, which is healthy, but at the same time assisting in being tired.
Oh, you mean like using up energy?
Using that energy so that you're able to rest, you know. Because it's so easy to be preoccupied and just stay up. And then I know myself, there's that like threshold. If you don't fall asleep in a certain window, then you're up, right? And it's as if it now becomes very difficult to fall asleep. So it's like you get your best sleep when you're within that window and
right.
you know yourself. And if you don't, you know, it's difficult. You wake up, even if you fall asleep not long thereafter, it's not the same. It's
right.
not the same.
Right. And I mean, you know, we all know, because I think it's happened to all of us, where when you don't get enough sleep, you are just out of sorts. You know, I remember when I was younger than I am now.
Okay.
That I would be able to stay up much longer, you know, like, I could stay up probably all night if I wanted to. Now, I can't, and I don't want to.
Right, but we remember our parents and grandparents being, you know, not being impressed that we could stay up as long as we did and can't understand how you're able to function on so little sleep and so on and so forth. And I guess it's just the cycle of life. But it still does not preclude the significance of sleep, you know, regardless of how old you are. At some point, it catches up with you, I think.
You know, I think that it's not worth the deficit. It's not worth the impact, you know, the negative impact, losing sleep. And I think, you know, maybe developing a ritual, a calming ritual before you go to bed. And one of the things that I teach people when I do therapy and they have sleep problems, especially when they ruminate about things, is to get a parking lot, I call it, or a parking garage for their thoughts, to maybe get a book or a journal and to write down the things that you're worried about or that you feel humiliated about or, you know, and to write those things down in the book and, you know, maybe share your feelings about them so that you're parking them, so that when you get into bed and snuggle between your sheets, that you are able to just focus on this most critical, this most refreshing of activity that's really so important. And
no,
so...
Well, sleeping, it sounds like such a treasured, should be such a treasured, precious...
Activity. And that's what I hope people get out of this discussion, is that is the importance and the significance of sleep, that it shouldn't be taken for granted. That when you are sleeping or when you are anticipating sleep, you're really, you know, doing such an awesome thing for yourself. You're rejuvenating the cells in your body. You're giving your heart and your brain an opportunity to rest, you know, from the hard day work. And you're really giving your body a chance to just take a breath, to, you know, and to recharge to start the next day. So sleep is so critical. And, you know, we also value it. So,
yeah,
you know. So, until next time, sleep well.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at DiscussionDelia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and bliss.